Artie Kornfeld, one of the most successful writers in rock history, with over 65 songs on the chart and over 120 platinum records as composer, publisher, producer, performer, manager, and promoter, comes the official memoir and tell-all story of growing up in the culture of American music. From Artie's breakthrough as the first vice president of rock in the music industry, to his collaboration with some of the biggest legends in music, to the building of a nation, the Woodstock Nation. Continuing in the footsteps of his mother, Shirley Kornfeld, who fought segregation by organizing freedom rides in the 1950s and 60s, Artie has been committed to fighting for freedom since childhood. This memoir is a look into the soul of the development of the rock culture through the eyes of someone who has been on the inside from the beginning, through Woodstock 69 and beyond, to a new spirit of the Woodstock Nation.
You, with your masquerading, and you, always contemplating what to do. In case happiness found you, can't you see that it's all around you? So follow me. Hey, come on, baby. It ain't true that your life has kicked you. It's your mind, and that's all that's tricking you. So step in line. Hey, come on, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Mr. Artie Kornfeld.
Hello, everybody. Glad I'm here with a mad day. So, yeah, I'm mad tonight. Yeah, I'm mad. I'm still expecting the results of these, these primaries. And just saying, oh, my God, what have we done to our country? Anyway, I'm really happy tonight. By the way, that song, Crispy and St. Peter, the Pied Piper. So strange. We're rapping, you know, from Carole King, Cheech and Chong, Monterey Pop. It was my boss at one time at Screen Jumps when I was a writer. And it was somebody, my version was number one, The Changing Times, and he sent it to England, and the guy covered it, and that song knocked us out. But we already got the Sonny and Cher tour, so that was fun. My guest tonight is a man that I've looked up to. I married a man, Marlon Pride, at one point. And if you're from St. Louis, Marlon's Pride has been in your ears for years. Whenever the reunions, you got to get tickets 3 months before because they sell out. And Pat Listen is, I grew up with Paul Simon. I was friends with John Lennon. And I've written with people you wouldn't believe, and I don't talk about it much because that sounds like bragging. I'm just proud of it that these people, came to me to write lyrics for them. But Pat Listen, and the Pat Listen, Mama's Pride, the tour with Greg Armer was a famous for them, where Pat introduces him. The first song I'm opening with is a song that actually makes me cry because it's almost a story about life, you know. Just catch the line, you know. And in the morning we'll have to part and the ball will be breaking along with my heart. So the song is called Maybe by Pat Mercer and Mama's Pride.
Lady, take me, treat me right. Lady, love me all through the night. Tell me you need me, though I know it's a lie. Your precious words feed me, help me get by. If you knew the things my eyes had seen, if you'd known the places that I'd been, maybe then you might have loved me, might have loved me quite a lot. Maybe tossed aside the rest of them.
that's really rock and roll, that's really blues, that's really southern, that's really northern. Like I told Pat listen, say hello. Pat, listen, I was so lucky the day I just got a disc of Mama's Pride because I got to meet Pat, and that band is the band that should have been number one in the world, and it just didn't work out, you know? Great band.
Timing is everything, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. Your performance on that song is like, I think, one of the best vocal performances that I've heard on, you know, on a rock song. You know, if it is a rock song, you know, it's really something. Did you do your reunion again this year?
Do what?
Did you do the Mama's Pride reunion?
Yes, in December. Actually, the one coming up this coming December will be our 40th anniversary.
Wow. And it still packs it up, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're such a legend in that area. It's almost like you're the Beatles of St. Louis. You know, it's sort of crazy. But aside from that, as a writer, you're a great writer and you're a great singer. Who's did someone squeeze you really hard in a weird place to get you to sing that those notes that great?
I don't know. It's kind of a thing that I kind of developed years ago, and it's not that hard actually. I mean, it's not as hard on my voice as it sounds, you know. And I just learned to do this scream one time, just like I was doing a cover song, and I was trying to do it, and it was too high, so I started kind of doing it in a falsetto range. And a friend of mine, bass player friend of mine, Al Romero, heard it, and he said, man, you need to sing like that sometimes, you know. And I thought he was crazy. Well, I started doing it, and then eventually worked it in with like a scream thing, and you know, people would hear me and they say, man, your throat's got to be trash by the end of the night. And I said, it's not that bad. I mean, it's, you know, once I learned how to do it, it was a lot easier than it sounded.
Well, you're like a chameleon with your voice, because I've heard you sing in it's always you, but there's different styles that you hit, and it always amazes me. That's why I of course we're both songwriters, and I appreciate what you do as a writer. I was just looking at the titles, because you know this was Pat. You know, what do you want to play tonight? And I just said, I got to hear maybe, you know.
Right. Just, no, I knew that was going to be on the table.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't mind. You know, otherwise I'd be leaving for the coast, right? Guess we'll never know. When did that develop? You know, what stage of, when did you write that?
That was back about the mid-90s, and that's when I first started falling in love with my genealogical country of Ireland. And I infused a lot of Irish things, Dublin and the different things over there, the Analiffy, the river, you know, and putting them into a song, a love song about a love that you kind of started, but it never developed, and for whatever reason it ended, and that you know, I guess I'll never know what it would have been.
Right. You know, I read something on Facebook today about a song like Dead Man's Heart by Jan and Dean. And Brian Wilson from Rolling Stone already wrote the lyrics, you know, and Jan said already wrote the song. And this kid wrote it's about two teenagers, and I actually wrote it about, you know, Robert Frost, you know, Two Roads in the Snow, you know, where you have, and it was really about every day you have a choice, and if you go left, it may be death, and if you go right, it may be great life. And that's what it was really about. The choice you had, it wasn't about a car race at all, you know. But about Ireland, I guess we'll never know, and I love to hear it.
Wonder. how my love. The passion deep inside us like a raging river flow. But baby, I guess we'll never know.
Yes,
guess now we'll never know. As I look across the water, knowing that I should have sought a stronger, stronger. I let it slip through my fingers, and now a memory will linger longer, longer. Now I stand here alone. If I'd only done things different, then she surely would have known how my love. I guess we'll never know.
Yes,
now we'll never know.
How do you feel about Ireland? Do you think about Ireland a lot? Is there strings inside you that sort of pull you to that island in your soul?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I went over there the first time in, 96, which is right about the time, right before I wrote that song. And I've been over there six times, and I haven't been over there since 2006. There's just been too much going on. But I love it over there.
Yeah, did you ever think of moving there?
I have thought of it, yeah. I mean, it's certainly gorgeous. I mean, if I could afford it, I probably would. If I could talk my wife into going over there, but I think she hasn't been over there yet, and I think once she'd go, she'd probably be good with it.
Yeah, it's so, you know, it's so strange. I got the strangest call. You know Harvey Brooks is? Harvey Brooks is a guy when they added, when Tom Wilson heard the Bob Dylan demo and he added the drums and stuff and the bass. Well, yeah. Harvey Brooks was the drummer, I believe. And I got a call from Israel, and it's Harvey Brooks, and he's over there in Israel, you know, playing in Israel. Really strange. He moved there. You know, it's funny because I have faith. I am a Jew, and I am proud of being a Jew, but I'm not a religious person. I'm a spiritual person. So I respect whatever anybody respects if it doesn't harm others. You know, I don't have that feeling. My lady Caroline has been to Israel, and it's like I think if there was a war and it meant the end, the final annihilation, the Holocaust of whatever Jews are left in the world, you know. But I just think of myself as one of the gang. Don't you really? I mean, you're one of the Irish gang, and I'm just one of the guys that, well, actually what we are is we're screwed up because we're musicians.
Yeah, well, that's true, you know.
Yeah. And you know what? That leads me right into saying that sure is a strange addiction.
Yes, it is.
Your life seems peculiar and you're sitting wondering why. Your friends say you've lost it and you wonder what they're trying to imply. You tell them everything's okay. It's only just a game, you say. But they know different, don't they? And it doesn't matter that you're drowning in a sea of glass. 'Cause it's your Jacob's ladder, like your own celestial backstage pass. And it's a strange addiction you possess, with a strong conviction that it's beneficial more or less. And when your day is over and your Casanova has gone, and you now plainly see it's a strange. Do you find that you're losing your touch with a reality base? Sweetly embracing the words that substitute for a face. You wrap your arms around yourself. You put your heart and soul on a shelf. And you're still dining by yourself. And it doesn't matter that you're drowning in a sea of glass. 'Cause it's your Jacob's ladder, like your own celestial backstage pass. And it's a strange addiction you possess, a contradiction that is necessary to suppress. And when you walk away to go back to your day, do you ever think to yourself, it's a strange addiction? Tell me, is it only that you're lonely, refusing all the good advice that's meant so nice, like it's just another temporary healing device? It's a strange addiction you possess, with a small confliction
with the philosophy that you profess? Is it yes? Is it no? Is it stop? Is it go? Is it any of these things at all? It's a strange addiction. It's a strange addiction. It's a strange addiction.
Yeah, great, Todd. You know, anybody out there, if you see McCartney, tell him Artie Cornfield, who he used to smoke hash with back in the 60s, says there's someone else who could play and sing everything on the record. Play all the instruments and do all the singing. His name is Pat Listen. God, I haven't had contact with him in so many years. Like, you know, he's a sir, and I'm still a miss. Not a miss, I mean a miss.
Yeah.
Or sometimes remiss at this age. You know, what the heck?
This is true.
You know, you've been working pretty steady?
I have been. I work a lot around town doing solo stuff. You know, I really enjoy that. It gives me an opportunity to kind of try out new songs and things on audiences and, you know, get some instant feedback. And I still do some stuff at Mama's Pride, and then once in a while my wife books me. And you know, she'll book me. I've worked with the last couple of years with Richie Furay and Michael Martin Murphy and Marshall Tucker. I mean, got something possibly coming up with John Baddorf. So, it, you know, she's always keeping something fresh going.
Yeah, and you always keep such talent going, and you haven't lost a step. Because the year I managed you, God almighty, when was that? Around 81, maybe?
Do what?
When did I manage you that one year?
Oh, what year was that? Oh,
Mama's Pride. I was trying to figure it out.
It would
have... I think it was about 80, around 80?
Yeah, 80, I think. Yeah, that sounds about right, because I left the band in 82, so that would be right about right.
Right, I was really intently into it, and then I met that blonde, right? And then I come down, I'd always have her hanging around.
Yes, I remember that vaguely.
She was very, very distracting. I love that. I love when I saw you play in that theater in the round. You know, that was such a great show. It's like it just blew me away. You know, back just before I got up, so over 28 years, so that's a long time ago, God. You know, like being blown away, and then the way you guys played, you know, and, you know, someone posted a video of you guys with Greg, when you were the sort of the Allman Brothers band for that year or whatever it was. How long was that tour?
It was just actually only part of 78. I mean, there was about 25 dates, but it was brief. It was like from August to September, October, something like that. But
right.
But there were a lot of dates crammed in there. That was a great time.
Yeah, I hope before I check out, I could hear you. I'd love to show up at a club one night and just hear you solo. You know, it's like, just Davin McCoy, by the way, is really good. He really is. I went in and produced about 7 or 8 cuts, you know, because, you know, it's really funny because here I am and Davin's asleep for 6 hours and I'm just sitting with the engineer myself, you know, and the 26-year-old's fast asleep, right, and I'm sitting there, can we have a little more, take some, about 2K, add a little, you know, and I'm doing that and it's 4 in the morning and I'm saying, what am I doing? You know, trying to kill myself, going for the world record or something? You know, the oldest producer in the world or something? No, I'm not a Woodstock. I hate that. You know, that's the drag of Woodstock. You know, people forget that was 8 months of your life, you know, and it wasn't your whole 56-year career. You know, it's sort of funny, you know. It's like sort of funny. You should be in the Rock Hall of Fame because you're so good. But Darlene Love's in there singing the Do Run Run. Now, I don't know if that's rock exactly, but... It's funny what Rolling Stone and Jan Winner and his power can do.
Nobody.
Yeah, nobody of hers, not mine, I guess. You've always been attracted to the I could tell by a bunch of your songs that you've always been attracted to, like, the rodeos, the circuses, the cowboys. I really watch the Western Channel, the Encore Western Channel. I usually watch it 6-7 hours in the 24-hour period. I love watching those old Westerns, especially the black and whites. You know,
My mom raised us on that stuff. She sang on radio in the 30s, and it was a lot of Western music.
Yeah, you know, I'm starting to worry about myself because I saw Audie Murphy today, and I really thought he was great. But you know what's really cool? I never saw, what was it called? The one with Marlon Brando. God. And he was blonde. I forgot what it's called. It's a famous movie, you know. And all of a sudden you see Clint Eastwood, you know, at like 19 years old, you know, playing Rowdy Rouse or something. And it wasn't Wagon Train. I forgot the name of the show.
Was this the Virginian?
Oh, no, I saw The Virginian. Yeah, I actually seen them all. You know, my favorite is really the Val Kilmer thing, the Tombstone version that they did. It was great. You know, the one with Chris, you know, Christopherson playing Billy the Kid. That was the worst Billy the Kid. You know, I'm glad you wrote You Were Always on My Mind, and me and Bobby McGee. Because acting was definitely not his trip, you know.
No, that wasn't a strong suit.
No, but I lived out in the West Coast, you know, that crowd of that I was hanging with Val Kilmer and Jim Michael Vincent and Gary Busey. Those guys were all nuts, man. But I guess so was I. So, going to the bar and down on the beach, you know, this crazy stuff. You know, so do you have your cowboy clothes with you?
I still actually do wear some of them, but the song says I didn't, you know?
Yeah. What made you write the song, Cowboy Clothes?
Well, somebody, I was talking online with somebody one time, and they said something about, you know, the band. They'd seen a picture of the band, and they said, so you wear a cowboy hat and boots? And during this time in my life, I wasn't even really writing at that time. I was just starting to think about getting back into it. And I said, no, I said, I don't wear my cowboy clothes anymore. And as soon as I said the words, I just said, hey, you know, I got to go. And I went immediately to the guitar and started writing this song.
You know, it's funny because I know this song. You know, I've heard it on one of your tapes. I think you might have sent me this song on something because I've heard it. You know, and I went through a stage where I went to Houston to see a program director with one of my records. And I bought a cowboy hat, and for about 5 years, I was walking around New York City with boots and wearing a cowboy hat, and I went to hug somebody, and he had to have 4 stitches because it was one of those real stiff Stetsons, like, you know? And I get 3 stitches right across his head. But he ended the record anyway, so what the heck? Sometimes it takes heavy-handed. You got to give a good hat to get records on the radio. I'm not a promotion man. I'm just a hat man. And here's Pat in his cowboy clothes.
Never claimed to be a cowboy, ride the dusty trail. Never been to Texas, no, I've never been to jail, but I've looked in the eyes of an angel, felt the clouds beneath my feet. And I've known the sweetest fragrance of a cherub, so petite. I don't wear my cowboy clothes no more. I don't like them cause they make me think of days I knew before, when I danced with my little cowgirl queen across the floor. I don't wear my cowboy clothes no more. I can still remember when I closed my eyes real tight, how she giggled when we twirled and danced into the night. And how when the dancing was over, I held her close to me. And I miss her untamed spirit and the passion in her eyes. Closet, then I close the door. They just lie there like the memories of my cowgirl queen of yore. I don't wear my cowboy clothes no more. In a tattered cardboard box, there is a cowboy shirt. In a shattered makeshift heart, there is a cowboy's hurt. 'Cause I've looked in the eyes of an angel, felt the clouds beneath my feet. And I've known the sweetest fragrance of a cherry, so petite. I don't like the smell of sawdust lying on the ballroom floor. It just lies there like the memories of my cowgirl queen of yore. I don't wear my cowboy clothes no more. I don't wear my cowboy clothes no more. I don't wear my cowboy clothes no more.
That's one wonderful song, Pat.
Oh, thanks, Artie.
It really is. Let me ask you something. You know, it's sort of weird because, you know, you never got the national notoriety, but, you know, I always think of you like you're a star, you know, whatever a star is to those people. To me, it means someone that's good, that is lucky enough to get recognized because, you know, the games of the play, you know, and, you know, guys like you and me sort of, you know, shoot it straight, you know, and you know, walk our walk, and we actually do walk our walk, and sometimes it costs us, you know, it costs us money, but we walk our walk, and you've always walked your walk, you know. Are you happy with your career?
I am. I mean, you know, every artist would like to reach more people, and it really isn't about, you know, making $1 million or anything. I enjoy people. I enjoy audiences. I would love to think more and more people hear what I do because I do what I love. I'm not harnessed to a record label where somebody's telling me what I have to play or what I have to do. I can do exactly what I want. And I'm more satisfied with what I do now than I ever am because I get to do what I truly love.
Right, you know. I made that decision, you know, when I, you know, stopped writing and I was producing and decided to do the festival, and I probably would have been the next president of Capitol. But what happened with Woodstock, it wiped out the fact that I wrote 42 songs that made the top 100 by all kinds of artists. Everybody from Wayne Newton to the Tokens, you know? It was just strange to wipe that part out. And, you know, to me, the best part, the most fun of the whole trip is in the studio and making the music. You know, when you write this song and you start laughing because, or you start crying because, you know, you hit it, you went inside your soul, you kicked the bullshit away, you know, and I always respected you for that, you know, because to me, you're a star. You know, like I had my friend Corey Wells from Three Dog Night, and he's a star, you know, he had 14 top 10 records, sold about 50 million.
Oh, yeah. No, they were huge.
Yeah, you know, and And then I had Denny Zywell from Wings, you know, so he plays with Paul, you know, but I was so happy to have you that you were able to do tonight. I was very angry. Anybody who's on my Facebook will see that I was very angry. So, you know, you sort of pull me back into, okay, Artie, stick around and keep giving, you know, because sometimes you give and you give and you give, and, you know, people, you know, they hit you with your great, 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 and you just don't feel it's real. But when you play, you got to feel it's real, because you say such good things in your lyrics that it actually pulled me back into it. You took me from a dark place, you know, into a good place, and I want to thank you for that.
Well, I appreciate that. I take it real serious, and I'm very passionate about my writing.
Yeah, we don't hang out, but we've been hanging out a long time, Pat.
Yes, we have. I could always count on every year or so I'd get a call from you about something, and we'd, you know, and then we'd reconnect, and then we wouldn't see each other for a while. But that's what a friendship is, you know. I mean, you don't have to be together all the time, you know.
Yeah, we're going a long time, 30 something years.
Yeah.
How's Dickie doing?
He's doing great. He's doing great. He's, you know, he's still obviously in Mama's Pride, and he, you know, does other projects in town, and but every year we do the Mama's Pride reunion at the pageant, and so obviously he's always a part of that.
Yeah, there was a couple of years, you know, with him and I used to keep contact on the phone.
Oh, no kidding. Oh, well, that's cool. No, he's doing wonderfully. I mean, he's playing better than ever. He plays bass on all my solo CDs, and because I just think he's great. I think he's one of the best bass players on the planet, and I'm always pleased and honored to have him on the CDs with me.
Yeah. By the way, you know, this is no sell, people, but you should have some Pat Liston music in your house to listen to. And you know, everybody wants to sell us in that, but you know, if you want to honor yourself, where do they go? Just to PatListon.com or iTunes? Where do they go to get your stuff, Pat? You have so much stuff.
They can go to the website, which is just PatListon.com, you know, and all the stuff is available on there. And, I appreciate anybody buying the stuff, because that's all we do here. I play and sing, and my wife books me, and it's a family affair. So we appreciate any time somebody buys the stuff.
Yeah, well, you know what? Well, we check out, you know, nobody, you know, it's funny, you know, I'm really sorry that this is the last song we could play, you know, with you, but I feel the same way, you know, that I passed the torch along, you know? You know, and whatever power guides you, puts you here, so you keep the torch going, and, you know, and you pass it along, and try to make it brighter.
Yes, you do. And that's what this next song is about. It's about a father passing his name to his son when his son's ready to step out, and it's hard to let go, so I wrote a song.
Yeah, and you know personally how I relate to that, so you know I do. So, because you know me. I guess we'll close with Pat's music. Stick around, Pat, for the closing, okay?
Okay.
So we can just see. How about now that there's a torch along?
torch along. Now that I have passed the 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 torch along.
Hey, everybody out there, we're still here, you know. You know, it's sort of mellow. It's really something, you know. Pat is definitely passed the torch along, you know. I feel that I've passed the torch along, and hearing Pat sing that, you know. If you saw what I put on Facebook tonight, I put, you know, silver people on the shoreline, let me be. You know, I'm tired and I may be leaving. You don't own me. You know, and you know, it's at the point in my life that I'm just one of the bunch, and I know who I am, and we all know who we are. And we all are so unique unto ourselves if we only look inside ourselves. And if we look outside ourselves, it's even more amazing, because then we escape the ego. Pat, thank you so much. This has been such a great night for me, because, you know, I'm having surgery next week, and I really needed this.
And, I'm flattered that you wanted me on this show. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm not afraid of the surgery or anything like that. You know, it's just, you know, it's pretty hip to get a hip. I always said I wanted to be hip, right?
You ain't afraid of anything. You survived the '60s. What? Ain't nothing could scare you.
Yeah, no, you saw me at the height of my high flying days. If I survived that, you know, I'm still here, and you're still here, and you're sounding better than ever, man. I don't know how you're doing it, you know.
God bless you.
You know, so, you know, I feel like we should have a, you know, a fife and a drum, and like, the three guys from the American Revolution, you know, walking down, limping with bandages all over us, but still passing the, still carrying the torch, right?
Exactly.
So everybody out there, you know, I go political, and I'm looking at TV, and I'm sick of all of it, you know, just, you know, come on, like Jesse Colin Young. Was it Jesse said, come on, pick them out, smile on your brother? Or was it the Buffalo Springfield? Right.
Yeah.
Everybody get together, try to love one another right now. And I just
wrote a song called "This." If you have not love, you have nothing at all.
Yeah, when you finish, would you call me and, you know, get a copy of me, something, or let me hear it?
Absolutely, I'd love to.
All right, anybody out there, go to patlisten.com. Thank you all for listening so much. With the spirits with us, we'll be talking again soon. I don't know if I'll be doing the show next week, because I have to be somewhere at 7 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday. So may do a rerun. So thank you so much. I really feel the spirit. Just feel tired tonight, you know, started going. By the way, saw Michael Almond with a group called the Mason Brothers, and Michael and his girlfriend Alex is coming over here tomorrow, you know, and I started to at least communicate with other people in my house instead of staying in my house, except I had to go public. And I just love to get back in the studio, and I hope I will be soon with Davin. So love you all, and I always go out with the only standing ovation at Woodstock was when Bert Summer did "They've All Come to Look for America," you know, and I grew up with Paul Simon, so song means a lot to me. You know, and Paul said that I beat him out in Rolling Stone, it's on that my version of America was the first time any time anybody beat his production of one of his songs. And I didn't do it, need to beat it, it's just that Bert did it so well and it just fell in place. You know, it's, you know. I ain't no genius. I'm just Artie Kornfeld. What was it? Someone told me a real quick John Lennon story. What was it? Oh God, I can't remember it now. Oh well, it's a funny John story, because I knew John pretty well, and it was just a funny story, and I can't remember the line, but you crack up. So, with that, what we're trying to do now is we're all going to look for America. So Z-Man, let's take it on home. Keep the spirit, people. Hold the light. Hold each other close. It's a battle, you know. But it's not really a battle if you hold each other close and if you say, you know, to someone, you know, thank you, you know, and things like that. It's really good. So thank you all for putting up with us tonight. Two vagabond gypsies and with Z-Man, that's definitely. And thanks, Ed, for all the help, and Pat Scully, and thank you all. Welcome to Look for America.
And we walked out to look for America. Kathy, I said, as we boarded a Greyhound in Pittsburgh, Michigan seems like a dream to me now. It took me 4 days to hitchhike from Saginaw. I've come to look for America. Toss me a cigarette. I think there's one in my raincoat.